I think you need, by the way, sad music for this because it's a very special, not half bad.
You know, one of these days I really am going to have to reach out to some musician to craft some music for us, and then we'll have to have the extra special episode version, the kind of stuff. I'll dig up something good. Wait, how about this? You say it's been a long week, right?
Yeah, it has been a long week.
Did something happen? Did something happen at Rutgers?
No, actually, Amir Garrett transferred, right? Or announced his transfer?
Oh, okay, yes, he transferred, or he announced his transfer. He hasn't transferred yet. He has to finish out the season, or the semester.
The wheels are falling off at St. John's, aren't they?
Oh, yes, yes. You know, nothing like what's happening over at Rutgers, where coaches have become the real cause célèbre of the nation. Or at least the villain of the nation, the worst thing that has ever happened to our poor 200-plus-year-old country.
Oh, goodness. So Mike Rice, if you remember back in December, was suspended for a pattern of behavior, including throwing basketballs at players' heads and swearing at players and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
3 games, fined $50,000. Wasn't allowed to recruit, wasn't allowed to be near the team, stuff like that. Seemed rather harsh at the time because nobody really knew what he did. But it turns out ESPN got a hold of the practice tapes. And
everything hit the fan.
We are live. It is April 4th at 8:58 p.m. I'm putting that time there for a reason. And this is a very special episode of Not Half Bad, the Rutgers and St. John's podcast. I'm Dave White from onthebanks.com. You can find me on Twitter at @Dave_White.
And this is Norman from Rumble in the Garden. You can find me at rumbleinthegarden.com or at RumbleSBN on Twitter. Or you can also find me at my personal feed at ecoastbias on Twitter. We have a very special episode of national importance tonight.
This is like an episode of Webster Punky Brewster. Different strokes.
Was there a special episode of Mr. Belvedere?
Yeah,
I don't
probably.
Know. We are talking about some very serious issues today on Not Half Bad. Though Dave doesn't know this yet, but I am going to make some light of these issues in a sense. I think that, you know, from the Rutgers perspective, things are very, very bad. But I do wonder if perhaps nationally we aren't making a bigger thing of this than perhaps we should. But as Dave pointed out, some things hit the fan. So first, yeah, we're going to go into exactly what it is that happened this week at Rutgers. In case you were under a rock or you don't watch, you know, Good Morning America or all
anything,
the other shows. Yeah, all the other shows that have really taken on the cause of Rutgers college basketball. And who knew? Who knew that Rutgers college basketball could be this important?
No one knew. Who knew at all? Turns out that after the suspension, after the season, Mike Rice was kept. Tim Pernetti announced that Rice would be back next year. This is the second time in Pernetti's tenure he has announced that a coach would be back. And weeks later, hit the fan. The tapes of Mike Rice's practices were released, and they were beyond what I could imagine in horribleness. Gay slurs, beating a player with a practice pad, pushing them from behind. Jimmy Martelli nearly getting into fights with who appeared to be Dane Miller, but I'm not sure.
And the kicking as well. Kicking
the kicking in the by Mike Rice. It was just the cursing is the least of it. Throwing balls at their heads, at their legs. In fact, I thought personally the throwing of the balls was the least of it.
But that seems to be the one that got the most attention because it is very, that's very against are very beyond the pale, because it wasn't once, it wasn't twice. They keep showing you Mike Rice throwing balls at people.
The balls being thrown at the player is the one because it's so repeated and you can see it at ankles, at heads. The one at the head, I think, is the one that's bothering people. But when I watched it, it was the pushing. It was the pushing more than the language, more than the basketballs. It was the pushing and the beating with the practice pad, you know, the dummy pad that really stood out. It was brutal. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it got out. Prinetti went on Outside the Lines, the show that released it, and defended Mike Rice, said that they punished him. The suspension was enough. Within the hour after that Outside the Lines was up, Prinetti looked bad on Outside the Lines, by the way. I think he was blindsided by three reporters asking him questions as opposed to just Jeremy Schapp. Prinetti didn't have answers that were good. You know, he kept saying it was a first offense 3 minutes after the show had shown repeated offenses. And I think he realized that, and I think he tried to recover. He went on Mike Francesa and had softened his stance on not firing Rice. And by the next morning, 10:06 a.m., April 3rd, Mike Rice was officially fired, which I think was another mistake. I think he should have resigned. And now the athletic department is in turmoil. Barchi, the president of Rutgers University, is in trouble. Tim Prinetti is in trouble and may be fired or resign. It's just blown up and, as you said, escalated ridiculously fast.
All right. So that's a lot to take in. And I think it's important to point out that Outside the Lines was actually planning on holding this until Sunday, but wanting to get ahead of it, I guess Prinetti invited some reporters to see it. I know Adam Zagoria was there, Steve Politi as well, right?
Politi was there, Brendan Prunty, Jerry Carino. Oh, no, Carino wasn't there.
Carino wasn't there, yeah.
Keith Sargent, who's usually covers Rutgers football but covers all things Rutgers, was there. And I thought that was my initial reaction was I thought that was a savvy move by Prinetti to get out in front of it, show it to the media. And when Outside the Lines moved it up to 3:00 that day, I thought for sure there was no way they were prepared to actually put on a program. And I thought this was going to get buried. Turns out, Outside the Lines had been working on this for about a week, I guess, before Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe 6 days, and they were ready. They wanted to run it Sunday morning, which is, I guess, is their prime episode. But
they didn't want it to get away. They didn't want it to get into the hands of the beat writers and have them
right.
Be able to trump them. And I thought that's a good move by them. And honestly, one of the beauties of sports television and of this kind of reporting is that it doesn't really require a lot of preparation. It's not a scripted show. So you can
right.
move it up to when you
right.
need to move it up.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, because Eric Murdoch, who's the one who's the linchpin of all this.
And we'll talk about him and his role.
Oh,
yeah. We'll talk about that.
He's interesting on many levels. I thought they hadn't interviewed him yet. I mean, on camera. Mm-hmm. And it turned out they had. They just had to cut it up. And they
and
were
some,
ready.
Some little minion was like, you know, was making his bones that day, cutting it up as quickly as he can. And he'll be telling the bosses, I cut up that Eric Murdoch video. That guy has made himself a little name around ESPN, I'm sure.
Absolutely. That guy's Emmy bound.
I don't know if he's Emmy bound, but he's certainly moving up to the better job so he can get the good house and the wannabe Melissa Stark girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where we stand. That's where we stood yesterday morning after everything had aired. It kind of blew up. It went everywhere.
Yeah. And we should talk about, before we talk more about the fallout and why Prinetti and such is in trouble, let's talk about why it went everywhere. Why is this, why did people have such a visceral reaction to this?
That's such a good question. I think there's a lot there. I think the way it was edited by apparently Eric Murdoch's lawyers was pretty explosive. It wasn't, you know, full practices and then seen in context. It was, you know, the reality TV show edit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just constant. It was an assault. Keith Sargent called it explosive. I was talking to a friend of mine who was home. I was at work, so I DVR'd it. And he was taken aback. It was just, even if that's what goes on, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people say that goes on, except all the Final Four coaches kind of backed way off that today. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody imagined it to be like that.
Yeah.
And my guess is, and I don't know if this is true or not, Rice, I think, turned it up a notch when he got to Rutgers because of the perception of Rutgers and the Rutgers team, that they were soft and they were, you know, I don't think Rice is a bad guy. I mean, he's a bad guy for doing that. But I think if you look at him as a person, does that make sense, what I'm trying to say? He's complex.
You know what? I'll say, because what I'm trying to get at in terms of the visceral reaction, some things that I want to say about it is that I don't know that he's a bad guy. I think that some of that stuff was a little off the hook, yes.
Yeah.
And I know that personally, and this is from somebody who was never, I never played in college, so I can't, you know, I can't really speak to this. And I think this also speaks to the mindset. I've never responded to a coach like that, you know, in middle school and high school. That's the kind of thing that makes me decide that I'm going to quit, or I'm going to give honestly a three quarters performance. You know, I'm going to do the thing I want to do, but it's not the, I'm going to run through a wall for you. And even in the workaday world, I feel like when I've worked for people who are borderline abusive or are obviously manipulative, I do. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I say mail it in. I feel like I'm not really a huge mail it in kind of guy in the way that some people will mail it in. But I definitely work a lot harder for people who I feel like they're on my side and they're trying to teach me something. You know, I've had bosses who are more instructive, and I'm all over the place for them. And that's, you know, that might be my personality, but it feels like that's a lot of where modern coaching is going these days, and modern kids as well. Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said too for the way that, you know, kids these days are perhaps a little bit more coddled in a way. And I don't, you know, there's a good and bad side to that. You know, the good side being that you are supposed to have kids who are a little more less robotic than the, say, you know, early Bobby Knight kids or early Krzyzewski kids or early, you know, any of those like really militaristic coaches kind of kids. But
there's a visceral reaction for this also, because I think we haven't seen it.
It's true. And
you hear about it. I mean, you see Bobby Knight throw a chair on the court, or apparently there's...
And that's against a ref. That was against the ref, not against his kid. But, you know, and you do see him choking his kid, you know,
I was just going to say that there's apparently very grainy video, much like the Mike Rice video, of him choking out a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's 10 years old at this point?
No, that's like 20 years old, or 15 years old, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's not in the public consciousness anymore. And this won't be. In 10 years, this won't be.
No.
But, it's so visceral and so stunning to actually see it and to see the words, you know, there and hear the bleeps over and over mm-hmm. again.
I mean, people don't talk about how Rick Majerus, you know, who died last year, he was the St. Louis coach when he died, but when he was the Utah coach, he was well known for, you know, there's the moment where he grabbed Hannah Mottola's balls just to, you know, to say, you know, you've got to have balls, you know, or he whipped his penis out to show the amount of distance that Michael Doliak needed to have from the guy he's defending. And he described it as 6 inches, the length of an average white dick. I mean, that's weird stuff, you know, And that's the kind of thing that I don't know that I would react necessarily well to. That
and I don't
said,
think most people do.
And most people don't. But I do think that that's a big part of the coaching profession. And we're not even talking about football where, you know, people have stories about the things that coaches will do because that sport is so much about toughness.
Yeah.
That said, you know, maybe there is a benefit in some sports to that kind of militaristic style toughness that my coach will say and do anything. And you know in the back of your head that he, you know, he'll go through the wall for you, but in the practices, it's awful and it's disgusting. And, you know, it's not things that anybody would say to anybody else. You know, it's very locker room.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Is that good? Is that productive at all?
Clearly not anymore.
And in the case of Rutgers, you can say it wasn't productive at all. I mean, you have these guys who certainly weren't bad talents. They weren't great talents, but they weren't.
And this was especially this year.
Most of it. This is all his first year?
First and some of last year, okay. But most of it they're saying is last year. I mean, okay. His first year. So the Coburn year where they all the seniors fell in line.
Mm-hmm. And they were kind of soft.
or the year before, but they were tough that last year. I mean, you know, as a St. John's fan,
that's true.
To come
that's
back
true.
From 10 or 12 down with 8 minutes to go in the Big East tournament. You know what I mean?
No, let's not talk about that.
But I'm just saying, I don't want to say it works because I don't want to condone it. But mm-hmm.
But even then, I'm saying that, you know, what works is in air quotes here because it's not like he had a winning season any of his 3 years, you know, that
right.
The year that they actually were quote unquote, you know, toughened up, let's say that first year, that wasn't that the year that they beat Florida, but lost to, you know, some other podunk teams. It wasn't like they were consistent
last year. They beat Florida and there's a very funny, I don't know if you saw it, article out on the Onion saying, oh, sure. It's an op-ed written by, quote unquote, Mike Rice.
Oh yes,
saying, "Don't you remember how we beat UConn last year?"
But we beat UConn, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's awful. It's awful, and it wasn't going to win here. And it's not what you know. You might get away with it at Robert Morris, where now there are reports coming out that there were at least five coaches versus player brawls in practice.
At Robert Morris.
Was at Robert Morris.
Wow.
You know, they called Jimmy Martelli Baby Rice.
Well, you know, people say things about Phil Martelli and anyway. So, you know, I'm not here to pass on rumors, but you know, the Martellis certainly have a tough guy reputation themselves.
Right. It's just there's a line and it was crossed and it was stunning and it this steamrolled. In the days of social media, this steamrolled, and it's going to hurt some people who shouldn't be hurt.
And we'll get to that as well. But I do want to go back to just to the concept of, you know, again to this tough guy coaching and to the reaction to it, which I don't know that it surprised me, but it didn't surprise me. I know that people don't really have the stomach for that kind of thing, and I think when you see that sort of thing, you think, I'm not sure what people think of, think basketball practices look like. And honestly, mm-hmm. the, you know, there are parts of it, the parts with the pads,
mm-hmm.
That didn't seem that weird to me. That's what I've, you know, from what I've seen and from
that
what
was
I know,
the one that bothered me the most,
which is weird. Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, to me, that didn't seem that weird. The throwing the basketballs just seemed out of control. It just seemed like a man who, that's the kind of thing you do when you lose your temper. But
right.
You shouldn't lose your temper that much in a season. You shouldn't be throwing things at players. That's not a way to get anybody to get through to you.
Yeah.
And the kicking, what is that? You can grab a player and put him in position, but that also, you know, I think even among the tough guy coaches, I feel like that's the sort of thing that should be your last resort. And I come at this also. As a person who's you know, and I'm not going to go into it, but my father was certainly like not a, you know, he's not American, so you know he came from a different tradition of how you teach and punish, and even for him, you know, the physical stuff got to be was sort of like the thing. There was a line, and if you did your things right, you didn't cross that line, and
right.
It seems like you know Mike Rice was crossing that line a lot. And I've learned from my dad and from, you know, people like that. Not that I would, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm American raised. My wife is not with that kind of stuff at all. I feel like even if that stuff was allowed, It has to be the nuclear option. You know, it has to be the, you know, I'm losing my mind here. You know, that's the I'm getting your attention stuff. You don't do it all the time because it loses a lot of force if you're always yelling and shoving and pushing, you know? I don't know. And I don't think that builds toughness.
Yeah, I think it probably wore the team down. I mean, there's reports that Politi reported in an article about Rice, I guess before last season, that first year, the team lost to Providence to end the year. They had a shot to be 500 or be over 500.
75-74,
Right. They lost to Providence on a last-second shot, and Rice had a tirade on the bus, called them losers, and this team is a bunch of losers and flipped out and that sort of thing. And I, you know, you read that and you're like, okay, if it happens once and he's angry and, it, but apparently it happened all the time.
Yeah. So many close losses that year too. I'm seeing 65-62 loss to Pittsburgh, 58-56 to St. John's. Well, there's a Notre Dame. There's a 5-point loss to Seton Hall, 4 points to Syracuse in overtime.
Mm-hmm. That's At Syracuse.
And that's so interesting. It's like, are you then seeing a guy who's getting his team to play up to their potential, or are you seeing a guy who maybe at certain points just, I don't know, somehow wore them down, or I don't know.
That's a team that had spent three years under Mike Rice. I mean, Fred Hill, and wanted to win in the worst way, and did anything they could. Fell in line, and he got the most out of them. That's what that was. And this team last year, freshmen coming in from high school, most of them highly touted. That's not going to fly. Yeah. That's not going to fly when, even if they played for Bob Hurley at St. Anthony's, which a couple of them did, that's not going to fly. That's not what they came for. They didn't come to get screamed and yelled at for 20 years of Rutgers being irrelevant or worse.
Yeah.
So.
And it's probably a different thing having, honestly, an older man scream and yell and occasionally shove you than, honestly, a younger, more, a guy who actually might get into a fight with you, you know, that's gotta be a different dynamic, you know, Bob Hurley, Bob Knight, you know, these are guys who, they might shove you. They might force you around. They might smack you a little, but you don't actually think, man, this guy's really just going to whoop my, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know.
But in all of this, because I feel like I could discuss that part for a long time.
That's the interesting part for you.
There does seem to be a lot more fallout, including the athletic director, Tim Pernetti, the man responsible for getting Rutgers into the Big Ten, you know, because of the New York market.
I think Pernetti thought the tape would never get out. They said that they were prepared for it, but I thought he thought it would never get out. And he was blindsided. Even if he wasn't blindsided, he looked blindsided. And the fact that, you know, but I think the local media, the Politis, the Carinos, the Prunties have done a phenomenal job with this. Fair, even-handed, supportive, at the same time knowing that, you know, Rice had to go. But the national media is, I think, what threw Pernetti. And the national media wanted blood, still wants blood. Pernetti still, as of 9/21, still the Rutgers athletic director. I have
but
a feeling
not allowed,
that.
But not allowed to look for a new coach, which is one of the signs that something's not right.
I have a feel. And then, you're Chicago, so you know New Jersey politicians get involved, and they want their piece.
And they are loud, they bray, they love their attention.
Yes, and that's where this is going to go wrong for Rutgers. You know,
and it's an interesting thing because you get these guys who want to say that the buck has to stop at the top, or that if you knew whatever, and you know, you can create parallels and then laugh at the Jersey politicians, as I know the other on the banks guy has, but
Mr. Scoop.
Yes, but I mean, it's very, I think it's a very difficult thing to ask, you know, the president to fully understand what's going on of the school. I think the athletic director.
A school of 40,000.
Yeah, I think that's a little, I think people have to stop and realize what an athletic department and what big time sports looks like. You know, a president is really there to rubber stamp things, understand things on a macro level, perhaps, if they're good. And then the athletic director has to be in charge of the athletic side. And it's, you know, it is a problem with how colleges and sports relate, but that's a thing for another day. Pernetti now, he does have a bit more responsibility. That said, I don't know, you know, it feels like, yes, you want to say like, oh, you know, he didn't protect the players, but I don't know. I feel like having him fired seems like a really knee-jerk overreaction. That's just my thought.
I agree. I don't think Pernetti should be fired or resign or whatever it's going to happen. But now it's butt-saving time.
And
you know,
along with butt-saving time, it does seem like part of what of Pernetti's actions have been dictated by the legal issues and legal ramifications going on here. That, you know, when he first heard the tape, I believe it was because Eric Murdoch was asking for money, right? Is that how this came out?
How did this come out? The Eric Murdoch saga is bizarre. Eric Murdoch was released from his contract. He had 1 year renewable contract. It wasn't renewed. At some point around that time, Murdoch came to Pernetti and told him of Rice's indiscretions. Mm-hmm. And Pernetti kind of said he'd look into it. It's a little cloudy. He says he did. ESPN says they're not sure if he did. Mm-hmm. The Big Ten stuff comes up. Pernetti clearly becomes overwhelmed by that. That's his only job. Murdoch keeps trying to get in touch with him, keeps trying to get in touch with him. November 20th, they're supposed to have a meeting. Murdoch, Pernetti, Murdoch's lawyer. It's rescheduled because that's the day that the Big Ten wants to announce Rutgers.
Mm-hmm. That's the 20th of last year, right, of 2012?
Of November 2012.
Okay.
6 days later, they actually have the meeting, and Pernetti sees the video and immediately hires someone to investigate. There's a quick investigation. The suspension comes down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they stood. There's the rumors that if Rice doesn't make the postseason, he's fired. Probably would have been the best option,
mm-hmm,
in retrospect. And just didn't happen. And Murdoch, I guess, waited to see if Rice would actually be fired, waited to see if he could settle. He asked for $950,000.
Wrongful termination, right?
For wrongful termination, has recorded phone conversations with Pernetti about this stuff. I don't know. I've read the article, but I read it quickly. Rice isn't fired. And what are we, less than a month from the last game? The video ends up at ESPN, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Pernetti said something very interesting. He said, "I tried to rehabilitate," and in my eyes, that's noble. In the rest of the world's eyes, apparently not noble.
There is and I'm trying to remember where I read this, but when people see villainous action, they have a hard time thinking that either that person isn't a villain through and through, or they have a hard time thinking that rehabilitation can happen. Now, with Mike Rice, yes, he probably needs to lose his job and be embarrassed. This is a very, mm-hmm, big thing, and you know, it's big for his family. I'm sure his father, you know, his father's a long time member of the basketball community, a long time coach and announcer out in Portland. And you know, this has got to be hard on him. It's got to be hard on his, you know, his wife, his kids, right? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. And that's important, and it's important that a guy doesn't skate. That said, I'm not ready to tar and feather this guy, you know, and even the athletes who are like, you know, oh, he would never lay a hand on me. I don't know about that. You know, I think, you know, for the parents who who say, you know, if that were my kid, I'd be really upset. I think that's a valid response. You know, I know that, mm-hmm. you know, in the past, my younger brother had gotten into some issues with a coach, and, you know, my parents, I don't know that they got super involved, but I think they were definitely very cognizant that that kind of stuff was going on, and that's important. But I think there's a real rush to make Mike Rice a villain, and to not also consider Eric Murdoch's role in this. And not that I'm calling him a snitch or anything like that. And I think it's right to blow the whistle, but it is interesting that he blew the whistle near the end of his tenure there.
Mm-hmm.
And is that for protection, or I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. I don't think there's any good in this at this moment. It's 9:28. Jerry Parrino just tweeted that we'll find out about Pernetti tomorrow, but that it doesn't look good for Tim. Was what he just tweeted. So we'll see. So that's where we stand. It's a weird situation, and I'm surprised it's such a national story. I wonder, Rutgers went through something like this, I guess, 12 years ago with Kevin Bannon and the naked free throws, and yeah, people heard about it, but you know, like there were some jokes, and then that was it. He was fired, and they hired Gary Waters.
It's social media. It's boredom. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that everybody can jump on the same story and, you know, moralize equally. ESPN has a lot more reach, you know. Same thing with Fran Fraschilla, who, you know, I think had a few moments that were a little questionable that got him fired as well. And Mike Jarvis came in and took the next team to the Elite Eight. And that's just the way of things sometimes. But even then, I don't know that it was such a big national story.
Right. It's not. And social media, YouTube, all that stuff has really, really been what has pushed this over the top.
Yeah.
It's viral to, you know, you keep hearing about it being viral.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's viral. And, you know, yes, Mike Rice needs to be fired. Mm-hmm. I don't think Pernetti or Robert Barchi need to be, but they, at least one probably will be.
Yeah.
And what this does to Rutgers athletics, I don't know. It's not like the Big Ten is going to revoke their invite.
No.
But at the same time, does Rutgers have to back off? You know, it's going to take them 3 months to hire a basketball coach at this point, because how quick are they going to hire a new AD if Pernetti's gone?
True. I mean, I do think they'll probably find somebody to be an interim, and then they'll bring in a coach because they need to do one for, you know, to have for around for summer practices and for recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be one of those situations where whoever comes in is going to be on shaky ground at least for 2 years, unless they're good. There are coaches out there. There are lots of coaches. And to be honest, Rutgers is probably better off. I don't know that Mike Rice was, especially with the cloud hanging over his head, I don't know that he was going to turn this thing around.
Right.
So the team's probably better off.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, my guess is it's Danny Hurley. He's a Jersey name. And he'll have a lot of leeway.
Maybe. I mean, that's a question too. If you bring in a Hurley, then you have to pretty much let him run the show, and that's going to be very interesting. I actually would think that it's not Hurley. It's just a feeling that I have, you know.
What
just
do you think feel. It's going to be? Do you have a gut feeling?
I don't. I don't really have a gut feeling. I do feel like Rutgers is going to find themselves looking at their budget lines and thinking, we cannot spend much on a coach. So maybe it's somebody like John Dunn, you know, one of those names, you know, one of those good, hardworking coaches from a low level conference who won't mind making $500,000 a year for his first 2 years.
Just because hire Hurley.
It's gonna be another year or two before, you know, they have that Big Ten money. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe you can hire Hurley and just structure the contract so that he doesn't get paid much early, or you find some boosters to help kick in for a signing bonus and then, you know, pay him more later. Because next year, Rutgers is in the American Athletic Conference. And, you know, as we know, that's not the big money right now.
Yep. No, it's not. But you know, there was talk. Andy Katz mentioned Jay Wright. I don't think Jay Wright's going anywhere, but
Andy Katz is throwing spaghetti at the wall.
I know. I'm just trying to be hopeful. Come on. I have season tickets that I probably won't renew.
That hopeful. What are you, drunk?
No, I'm just sad.
Yes. You and your Game of Thrones beer. You're Schlafly now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jay Wright. No. Don't think crazy thoughts.
Yeah, no, it's that's it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's a mess. It's a babbling mess.
Yeah.
And it'll sort out, and in a week or two, nobody except Rutgers fans will remember.
I honestly hope that Pernetti gets some sort of censure, you know, like he can't, I don't know, AD off campus for a few months or something, you know, like they give to coaches.
Right, because that would be nice.
It's very disruptive to rip up an athletic department just because one coach is a nut and throws balls at his 15 players. It seems like a really outsized response to chuck the AD. And I'm not saying this as somebody who's insensitive to the abuse that Mike Rice was doing and not insensitive to the outrage, but guys, I mean, I don't see how does this improve the world? I mean, what it does say is that Pernetti knows that and ADs know that this is not something you can trifle with. But I don't know that it teaches him much of a lesson, and I don't know that that lesson can't be delivered with a simple, you are so close to getting fired, you know? He's not a crazy man.
No, he's not. He's a very smart man.
Well, somebody will luck up and end up with him as their AD, and, you know.
Then they'll be in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and then they'll be in the Big Ten. Maybe it'll be Virginia.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. But it just – we're in the – oh, we're in the midst of it doing this podcast, and I think we'll be doing another one in a week or two as things, you know, I have a lot of thoughts on it, but saying them out loud are hard.
Mm-hmm. Are your thoughts sort of like,
pretty much if you play them backwards, they'd make a ton of sense.
Nice.
But that's it. That's our not half bad here.
That is our not half bad. And we don't need to talk about Amir Garrett. He left. Bye. And no. I'll throw in that Amir Garrett, 6'6 swingman for St. John's, didn't get a lot of time, averaged about 20 minutes per game, has decided to transfer, which is a slightly interesting story because what I had heard, and this was weeks ago, was that he was looking very long and hard at going year-round in baseball, his other sport. He's been drafted by the Cincinnati Reds, showed out well at the end of the year in their organization, had a couple of starts for Billings, which I believe is high single A for the Reds organization. He's a left-hander with a 95-mile-per-hour fastball, so you can't front on that. And he is he's considering other schools. So,
hey, yeah. He could be the face of Rutgers.
Ew. Why would he? Who? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be the face of Rutgers.
That's worth a shot.
Oh my gosh! What the? Oh my! You're done. You're time
out. I'm cut off.
The 10th episode of Not Half Bad, the podcast covering Rutgers' demise, the throwing of balls. And occasionally St. John's basketball. This is Norman. This is Norman, one of your hosts. You can find me at Rumble in the Garden on SB Nation's network, which is rumbleinthegarden.com. You can also find us at Rumble SBN.
Oh, and this is Dave of the Half Bad portion of Not Half Bad. You can find me at onthebanks.com and on Twitter at Dave_White.
And Dave will be very, very sad for a very long. No, he won't be. He'll be sad for a couple of days, and this will not quite blow over, but this will be an interesting moment in college athletics and how we consider what's right and what's wrong. I think
this too shall pass.
Yes,
it's you cannot get much more rock bottom than this.